Let us bow our heads for a few moments of silent prayer, and then let us pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. The service for chapel this morning is a Christmas service. Christmas comes early this year. In some ways, too early. In some ways, it's good that Christmas comes early this year in view of the saddening developments in our country's history. Perhaps we need it at this time. Perhaps we need the Christmas spirit. And somehow I think each year, despite all the tinsel and all the Christmas trees and all the advertising and all of the signs that say so and so many days left until Christmas, I think in spite of all of this, in the hearts of each of us, we are a little stirred and a little moved by the spirit of the season. This morning I'm going to play for you a radio drama, which is an adaptation of the story of the other wise man. It was produced in conjunction with the WKNC Special Productions Department. This is the student radio station at State College. The production itself is not an ambitious one, and it's not particularly outstanding. I think it's worth your attention. But it is important to me because I think it is a beginning, and I hope that we will be able to do more in this direction in time to come. This particular taped program will be available to any of you who would like to copy it, and you can use it on radio stations in your vicinity, or it could be played in your churches. It will be played for the student body of State College over the WKNC radio system.
The air, perhaps. I have never felt as if it were my own. It was a gift. It was sent to me. I had studied and loved the curious tales of the three wise men of the East, as they are told in the golden legend. But of the fourth wise man I had never heard, until one night I saw him distinctly, moving through the shadows in a little circle of light. I saw his journeyings and trials and disappointments. I saw the long way of his seeking and the strange way of his finding the one whom he sought. I will tell the tale as I heard fragments of it in the Hall of Dreams, in the Palace of the Heart of Man. It was in the year when Augustus Caesar was master of many kings and Herod reigned in Jerusalem, that there lived in the city of Ecbatana, among the mountains of Persia, a certain man named Artaban, the Median. Late one September night, he was holding counsel with his father.
Welcome, my father.
Peace be with you, my son.
Father, you have come tonight at my call, as we have often come together, faithful scholars of Zoroaster, as we have often renewed our worship and rekindled our faith in the God of purity. You know that we worship not the fire, but him of whom it is the chosen symbol, because it is the purest of all created things. Is this not so, my father?
It is well said, my son. The enlightened are never idolaters. We lift the veil of form and go into the shrine of reality. And light and truth are coming to us continually through the old symbols.
Then, Father, hear the words of this prophecy. Listen. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall arise out of Israel.
Or Judah was a captive by the waters of Babylon, and the sons of Jacob were in bondage to our kings. The tribes of Israel are like lost sheep, and from the remnant that dwells in Judea under the yoke of Rome, neither star nor scepter shall arise.
Not so, Father. Was it not in the Hebrew Daniel, the mighty searcher of dreams, the counselor of kings, who was most honored and beloved of our great King Cyrus, a prophet of sure things and a reader of the thoughts of God? Daniel proved himself to our people, and these are the words that he wrote. Listen. Know, therefore, and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore unto the anointed one, the prince, the time shall be 70 and 70 weeks.
But my son, these are mystical numbers. Who can interpret them? Who can find the key that shall unlock their meaning?
It has been shown to me.
What do you say?
Yes, Father, to me. Try to listen. To me and to my three companions among the Magi, Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar, we have searched the ancient tables of Chaldea, and we have computed the time. It falls in this year.
But are you sure?
We have studied the sky, and in the spring of the year, we saw two of the greatest stars draw near together under the sign of the fish, which is the house of the Hebrews. We also saw a new star there, which shone for one night and vanished. Now again, the two great planets are meeting. This night is their conjunction. My three brothers are watching at the ancient temple of the seven spheres in Babylonia, and I am watching here. If the star shines again, they will wait 10 days for me at the temple, and then we will set out together for Jerusalem to see and to worship the promised one who shall be born the King of Israel.
And if the sign does not appear, what will you do then?
I believe the sign will come. I've made ready for the journey. I've sold my house and my possessions and bought these three jewels, a sapphire, a ruby, and a pearl, to carry them as tribute to the king. And, Father, I ask you to go with me on the pilgrimage, that we might have joy together in finding the prince who is worthy to be served.
Artaban, I am an old man, and I am not a man who can leave to go off on a difficult journey. Now, it may be that the light of truth is in this sign that has appeared in the skies. If it is, it will surely lead to the prince and to the mighty brightness. Or it may be that it is only a shadow of the light, as I have thought myself. And then he who follows it will have only a long pilgrimage and an empty search. But it is better to follow even the shadow of the best than to remain content with the worst. And those who would see wonderful things must often be ready to travel alone. As I have said, I am too old for this journey, but my heart shall be a companion of the pilgrimage day and night. And
Father, look, do you see it?
What? Where?
There to the west. It is the sign. The king is coming, and I will go to meet him.
Before the birds had fully roused to their strong, joyful chant of morning song, before the white mist had begun to lift lazily from the plain,
The other wise man was riding swiftly along the high road which skirted the base of Mount Orontes, whispering past the broad slopes of Mount Orontes, across by the level plain of the Masseus.
Oh, there! Oh! What place is this?
It's the village of Concaba, sir.
How far to Babylon?
Fully 50,000. Those days journey.
That for you. I must make it in three. Peace be with you, friend.
Artaban pressed onward till he arrived at nightfall of the third day beneath the sheltered walls of populous Babylon. His horse was almost spent, and he would gladly have turned into the city to find rest and refreshment for himself and for her. But he knew that it was still 3 hours' journey to the Temple of the Seven Spheres, and he must reach the place by midnight if he would find his comrades waiting. So he did not halt, but rode steadily on.
Steady, steady there. What is it?
Something in the road. Let's have a look. Why, it's a man. Dead, poor soul. Nothing we can do for him.
Help. Have mercy. Mercy in Abraham's name.
Hold. There is life here.
But I dare not stop even for an hour, or my quest is lost. My companions will think I have given up the journey and will go without me. But if I go on now, this man will surely die. God of truth and purity, direct me in the holy path, the way of wisdom which thou only knowest.
Who art thou? Why hast thou brought me here to bring back my life?
I am Artaban, the Magian of the city of Ecbatana, and I am going to Jerusalem in search of one who is to be born the King of the Jews. I dare not delay any longer upon my request, for a caravan that has waited for me may depart without me. But see, there lies all that I have, bread and wine, and here is a portion of healing herbs. When thy strength is restored, thou canst find the dwellings of the Hebrews among the houses of Babylon.
Thou be the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Bless and prosper the journey of the merciful, and bring him in peace to his desired haven. But stay, I have nothing to give thee in return, only this, that I can tell thee where the Messiah must be sought. Our prophets have said that he should be born not in Jerusalem, but in Bethlehem of Judah. May the Lord bring thee in safety to that place, because thou hast had pity upon the sick.
It was already long past midnight, and Artaban rode on in haste. Dawn was breaking as he reached the Temple of the Seven Spheres. And Artaban, scanning the great mound of Nimrod, could discern no trace of his friends. There was no sign of the caravan of wise men, far or near, but his eye caught sight of a piece of parchment beneath a little can of broken bricks. He caught it up and read.
We have waited long past the midnight and can delay no longer. We go now to find the king. Follow us across the desert.
How can I cross the desert with no food and with a spent horse? My sapphire. I must sell it at Babylon. I'll need a train of camels and provision for the journey. I may never overtake my friends, and only God the Merciful knows whether I shall not lose the sight of the king because I tarry to show mercy.
Thank you. there was a silence in the Hall of Dreams, where I was listening to the story of the other wise man. And through this silence, I saw, but very dimly, his figure passing over the dreary undulations of the desert. High upon the back of his camel, he rocked steadily onward like a ship over the waves. The land of death spread its cruel net around him. The stony wastes bore no fruit but briars and thorns. The dark ledges of rock thrust themselves about the surface here and there like the bones of perished monsters. By day, the fierce heat pressed its intolerable burden on the quivering air. By night, a bitter, blighting chill followed the fever of the day. Through heat and cold, the Magian moved steadily onward until at last he arrived at Bethlehem. It was the third day after the three wise men had come to that place and had found Mary and Joseph with the young child Jesus, and had laid their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh at his feet. Then the other wise man drew near, weary but full of hope, bearing his ruby and his pearl to offer to the king.
Now at last I shall surely find him, though it be alone and later than my brethren. This is the place of which the Hebrew exile told me the prophet had spoken, and here I shall behold the rising of the great light. But I must first inquire about the visit of my brethren, and to what house the star directed them, and to whom they presented their tribute. But the village seems deserted. No, I hear someone in this cottage.
Welcome to our village, stranger. Come in.
Peace be with you. I seek three comrades from the east. Can you give me some word of them?
There were three travelers in eastern attire appeared in the village 3 days ago. They told that a star had guided them here where Joseph of Nazareth was lodged with his wife and their newborn babe. They paid reverence to the child and gave him many rich gifts.
Those were indeed my comrades. Know you where they can be found now?
They disappeared again as suddenly as they came. We were afraid at the strangeness of their visit. We could not understand it. The man of Nazareth took the babe and his mother and fled away that night secretly, and it was whispered they were going far away to Egypt. Ever since there has been a spell upon the village, something evil hangs over it. They say that the Roman soldiers are coming from Jerusalem to force a new tax from it, and the men have driven the flocks and herds far back among the hills and hidden themselves to escape the Romans.
Might not this child have been the promised prince? Quickly, woman, take thy babe and hide in the dark corner. I will try what I can to hold them out. Who is it that tries to tear the door from its moorings?
Open in the name of Herod the King.
Very well, I come. Be calm and remain silent. What is it that you want?
We have orders to search out and kill all male children under the age of 2 years.
I am all alone in this place. I am waiting to give this jewel to the prudent captain who will leave me in peace.
March on, there's no child here. The house is still.
God of truth, forgive my sin. I have said the thing that is not to save the life of a child. And two of my gifts are gone. I have spent for man that which was meant for God. Shall I ever be worthy to see the face of the king?
Then again there was a silence in the Hall of Dreams, deeper and more mysterious than the first interval, and I understood that the years of Artaban were flowing very swiftly. I caught only a glimpse here and there of the river of his life shining through the shadows that concealed its course. I saw him moving among the throngs of men in populous Egypt, seeking everywhere for traces of the household that had come from Bethlehem, and finding them under the spreading sycamore trees of Heliopolis, beneath the walls of the Roman fortress of New Babylon beside the Nile, traces so faint and dim that they vanished before him continually as footprints on the hard river sand glistened for a moment with moisture and then disappeared. I saw him again at the foot of the pyramids, which lifted their sharp points into the intense saffron glow of the sunset sky, changeless monuments of the perishable glory and the imperishable hopes of man. He looked up into the vast countenance of the crouching Sphinx and vainly tried to read the meaning of the calm eyes and smiling mouth. I saw him in an obscure house of Alexandria taking counsel with a Hebrew rabbi, the venerable man bending over the rolls of parchment on which the prophecies of Israel were written, read aloud the pathetic words which foretold of the sufferings of the promised Messiah.
And remember, my son, the king whom you are seeking is not to be found in a palace, nor among the rich and powerful. If the light of the world and the glory of Israel had been appointed to come with this greatness of earthly splendor, it must have appeared long ago. For no son of Abraham will ever again rival the power which Joseph had in the palace of Egypt, or the magnificence of Solomon throned between the lions in Jerusalem. But the life for which the world is waiting is a new life, the glory that shall rise out of patient and triumphant suffering. And the kingdom which is to be established forever in a new kingdom, the royalty of perfect and unconquerable love, I do not know how this shall come to pass, nor how the turbulent kings and peoples of earth shall be brought to acknowledge the Messiah and pay him homage. But this I know, those who seek him will do well to look among the poor and the lowly, the sorrowful and the oppressed.
The other wise man again and again, traveling from place to place and searching among the people of the dispersion with whom the little family from Bethlehem might, perhaps, have found a refuge. He passed through countries where famine lay heavy upon the land. The poor were crying for bread. He made his dwelling in plague-stricken cities where the sick were languishing in the bitter companionship of helpless misery. He visited the oppressed and the afflicted in the gloom of subterranean prisons and the crowded wretchedness of slave markets and the weary toil of galley ships. But in all this populous and intricate world of anguish, though he found none to worship, he found many to serve. He fed the hungry and clothed the naked and healed the sick and comforted the captive. And his years went by more swiftly than the weaver's shuttle that flashes back and forth through the loom while the web grows and the invisible pattern is completed. Sometimes it seemed almost as if he had forgotten his quest. But once I saw him for a moment as he stood alone at sunrise, waiting at the gate of a Roman prison. He had taken from a secret resting place in his bosom the pearl, the last of his jewels. As he looked at it, a mellower luster, a soft and iridescent light, full of shifting gleams of azure and rose, trembled upon its surface. It seemed to have absorbed some reflection of the colors of the lost sapphire and ruby. So the profound, secret purpose of a noble life draws into itself the memories of past joy and past sorrow. All that has helped it, all that has hindered it, is transfused by a subtle magic into its very essence. It becomes more luminous and precious the longer it is carried close to the warmth of a beating heart. Then at last, while I was thinking of this pearl and of its meaning, I heard the rest of the story. the other wise man.
Three and 30 years of the life of Artaban had passed away, and he was still a pilgrim and a seeker after light. Worn and weary and ready to die, but still looking for the king, he had come for the last time to Jerusalem. He had often visited the holy city before and had searched through all its lanes and crowded hovels and black prisons without finding any trace of the family of Nazarenes who had fled from Bethlehem so long ago. But now it seemed as if he must make one more effort, and something whispered in his heart that at last, this time, he might succeed. It was the season of the Passover. The city was thronged with strangers, and there had been a confusion of tongues in the narrow streets for many days. But on this day, there was a singular agitation visible in the multitude. The sky was veiled with a portentous gloom, and currents of excitement seemed to flash through the crowd like the thrill which shakes the forest on the eve of a storm. A secret tide was sweeping them all one direction, the clatter of sandals, the soft, thick sound of the thousands of bare feet shuffling over the stones flowed unceasingly along the street that leads to the Damascus Gate. Artaban joined company with a group of people from his own country, and they moved along the multitudes.
What is the cause of the tumult, friends, and where is everyone going?
Going to the place called Golgotha, outside the city walls, where there's to be an execution. Have you not heard what has happened?
No. I have just lately arrived from Alexandria.
Two famous robbers are to be crucified, with them another called Jesus of Nazareth, a man who's done wonderful works among the people so that they love him greatly.
Then why is he to be executed?
The priests and elders have said that he must die because he gave himself out to be the Son of God. And Pilate has sent him to the cross because he said that he was the King of the Jews.
The King of the Jews. How strangely those familiar words fall upon my heart. They have led me for a lifetime over land and sea. Can this man be the same who was born in Bethlehem 33 years ago, to whose birth the star appeared in heaven, and of whose coming the prophet spoke? The ways of God are stranger than those of men, and it may be that I shall find the king at last in the hands of his enemies, and shall come in time to offer my pearls for his ransom before he dies.
What is the confusion up ahead?
Just a group of Macedonian soldiers with another captive for the slave market.
A girl. What a pity that one so young should be sold into slavery.
Stop her! Don't let her get away. She's breaking loose.
Have pity on me and save me, for God's sake. Don't let him take me. I see by your dress that you are a magician. I also am a daughter of the true religion. My father was a merchant of Arthia, but he is dead, and I am seized for his death to be sold as a slave. Please have pity. Save me from a fate worse than death. Don't let him.
Here, take this jewel, daughter. It shall be thy ransom. It is the last of my treasures which I have kept these many years to offer up to the king. Ever my search should be rewarded, and I should find him at last.
And in the ninth hour the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks were rent.
Come, we must flee the city.
Save thyself, daughter. I can go no farther. Fly, child, I have done with this life.
No, you have ransomed me, and I will not leave you here to die. Here, rest your head in my arms, and let me wipe your brow.
He gave me meat. I was thirsty.
The girl soothed the injured Artaban. They heard a strange, unearthly voice speaking as if from heaven.
I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me.
Not so, my lord. For when saw I thee hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When have I seen thee a stranger and taken thee in, or naked and clothed thee? When have I seen thee sick or in prison and come unto thee? 33 years have I looked for thee, but I have never seen thy face, nor ministered to thee, my king.
Verily I say unto thee, inasmuch as thou hast done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, thou hast done it unto me.
As the words faded away, a beautiful and peaceful smile crossed the face of Ottoman. He died, yet would live in the arms of one of the many for whom he had sacrificed, knowing that his lifelong quest was accomplished in its denial. There was a final silence in the Hall of Dreams.
Now may the grace and the peace of our Heavenly Father and the fellowship of the Holy Church be with us all until we meet again. Amen.